Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome back to The Flatline. It's Rick Hughes, the host. And for the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and even some education. And remember, no manipulation, no hidden agendas, just accurate information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life should you choose to do so. You can do that. You can orient and adjust. You can make these decisions. My job is just to give you some accurate information, not to entertain you, not to sell you anything, not to get you to join up, certainly not an infomercial. It is information. That information will allow you to distinguish truth and allow you to make some wonderful decisions that will assist you in your journey through life. And the question is, will you hit the road to ruin, down the my way highway, or will you take the right road? And that is the road to a long, happy, wonderful life. And that road is called the road of authority. That's something we've been studying on this radio show last week, where the Bible clearly says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. And then it goes on to say, in the Lord, it says, honor your father and mother, because this is the first mandate with a promise that it may be well with you, and you may live a long time on the earth. And there's definitely longevity and prosperity associated through the Bible with authority orientation. And to the degree that you do not orient to authority and reject authority, you're going to set yourself up for a miserable life. That's why these principles and concepts that I'm teaching you will really help you if you learn them and believe them and apply them into your life. They will establish that flat line, that main line of resistance that'll stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Authority, legitimate or illegitimate, all authority acts as an umbrella to protect freedom, and freedom is our wonderful asset that we have. Without authority, there would be no freedom. There would only be anarchy. And it's an amazing thing. Authority without freedom is tyranny. And so we don't want to live under tyranny, and we don't want to be anarchists. We want to live under God's rule, God's plan, God's way that He set up. And last week we saw several different types of authority that are established by the Bible. And we'll run over those real quickly for you as we move on in our study of authority. Regarding legitimate authority, Ephesians 6:1 says that children should be under the authority of their parents. And I made a note that there are two different Greek words here used in the New Testament. One of those words is pronounced hupakuo, and the other is pronounced hupotasso. Hupakuo and hupotasso. Hupotasso means to subordinate yourself, and hupakuo means to be obedient. And so when the Bible says, children, obey your parents, it's saying be obedient to the authority of your parents. But when the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:1, wives, obey your husbands, that's a different word. That's not hupakuo, it's hupotasso, and that means to subordinate yourself to the authority of your husband. It's a military term, to be under the authority of another person. The third concept we saw last week is that every soul, and that means each one of us, should be subject to the powers that govern us. And again, we have our word hupotasso. Under the authority, it's translated be subject, but it's the same word obey, be subject, under the authority of the governing authorities. And that word is the powers. It's translated powers in some places, and some places it's translated governing authorities. Exousia is the Greek word, exousia. So we are to be subject to those who have authority over us in the government. And then we saw that we are not to allow our old sin nature to have authority over us or to control us, to be obedient to the old sin nature, hupakuo, in Romans 6:12. Remember, we all have a sin nature. Everybody does. We're all born with that sin nature except the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin, and He never sinned. He never acquired a sin nature. This is why he was the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, that takes away the sin of the world. We also saw that servants were to obey their masters in all things, and hupakuo again, to be obedient, in Colossians 3:22. And then we saw one final different word, where the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you. And the word there was patho, not hupakuo, not hupatasso, patho. And that meant to yield with these commands or to comply with their orders, to obey them. And so when you see that red light, you are to patho, yield, comply with, stop. That red light represents authority. That stop sign represents authority. The police officer represents authority. The principal at the school represents authority. That's why so many of us, when we're so young in school, we get burned out sometimes on authority because we have weird teachers and we hate them. And then we think, if I could just get out of here, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do ever again. And so maybe you had a coach that used to tell you what to do and you couldn't stand him. Or maybe you had a mom or a dad that you couldn't stand and they told you what to do. And so now you've made a decision that all authority you're going to reject for the rest of your life, and you're going to be autonomous, free-willing, and you're going to make the rules up as you go along. Well, you won't have a very long life. You will have a short life, a miserable life, and you will self-destruct very quickly, because without authority, you can't exist. You can't live. Unless you just want the rules to be for everyone else, just not for you. And sometimes that's the way people are. Rules are made for other people, not for me. You know, the Bible says that even the winds and the seas obeyed Jesus Christ. All he had to do was speak and they calmed down. The Bible says that demons obeyed him in Mark 1:27, and the reason was because he created all of these things in Colossians 1:16. So remember this and think about this. A legitimate authority is from God, and legitimate authority is Jesus Christ and those whom God has put in rule over us. It may be a pastor. It may be a police officer. It may be a parent. It may be a principal. That authority is there to teach us one thing, humility. Authority is designed to teach you humility. Without humility, you cannot function normally in this world. The opposite of humility is arrogance. And so if you operate from a premise of arrogance, if you have an arrogant personality profile and no humility, then you're always going to reject authority when you don't agree with it. And you're always going to respond to your own initiative and your own ideas as if you were authority. And that's the unrealistic self-image of the arrogant person. Now, illegitimate authority can be found oftentimes in the world. Illegitimate authority is illegal, unlawful authority that's established by force, without lawful or legal right to possess the power. And that means they have no jurisdiction to tell you what to do. An illegitimate authority is someone who seizes power through force or causes someone to obey through coercion, such as a military coup or something to this effect. And when you have illegitimate authority as a Christian, you're not under control of illegitimate authority. You don't have to obey illegitimate authority. But legitimate authority, you are told to be obedient to legitimate authority. Now, there is authority. Well, let me give you a definition of authority. Let's do that. I don't think we've even done that yet. The definition of authority is defined as that legal power that has been delegated by God, whereby certain people have jurisdiction and responsibility for other people. Certain people have jurisdiction and responsibility for other people. And so authority comes with responsibility. And authority is designed to teach humility. And humility guarantees freedom and protection. It's an interesting concept. This is why when a person is in school and they're young, or at home when they're young, if you don't break the arrogant rejection of authority young, then they're going to come into life and they're going to be criminals and they're going to create problems. Because no one's able to subdue their arrogance. And in their arrogance, they reject all forms of authority and trot off down the my way highway. Now, I have a letter that I could read to you today that'll demonstrate this very concept. I won't tell you who it's from, but I will tell you this. This person is locked up, in prison, on death row. I will start off by reading to you, my name is, and I'll leave that blank. I won't call his name. And I'm on death row. The journey to this cell has been a long and winding road, a road that I want to share with you. But there is an amazing thing, and that is the peace and the happiness that I'm finally able to enjoy as the result of accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I would like to share that with you also. Now listen carefully. I was raised in a Christian home. I went to Bible school at our church. I sang in the choir. I was confirmed. I had a good grasp on Christianity, what was right, what was wrong, what was moral, what was immoral. I played a lot of organized sports like football and baseball, and it helped me to develop discipline as well as physical toughness. I began military school with the eventual high hopes of going to West Point. But the life that I just described to you does not sound like the first 13 years of the life of a man who has spent 16 of the last 20 in prison and who's currently on death row. Unfortunately, that is the case, and by sharing my successes that I enjoyed while growing up, I hope it'll open your eyes to the fact that the potential for disaster awaits each one of you if you make bad decisions. Now, what was it that got this person on death row? What sort of bad decisions did this particular individual make? Let's read and let's listen and think about this in terms of rejection of authority, arrogance, and going down the my way highway. This person says, I briefly shared some of my early years and left off with me attending military school, and oddly enough, it was at that point that my life began to crumble. At the start of the second semester, some new students arrived, and they brought with them drugs. I had never considered using drugs. They scared me. But seeing that these drug users appeared normal, and they did not seem like raving lunatics, raised my curiosity about the drugs, and I began to experiment with downers and quickly found that responsibility became an undesirable part of my life. We have talked a lot about responsibility. Responsibility for every decision that you make. Bad decisions limit future options. And this particular individual rejected all authority. He knew better. He was raised in a Christian home. He went to church. He played organized sports. He understood authority. But this is a typical example of what the cosmic vortex can do to a person. As the cosmic vortex arrived on his campus, spinning around like a tornado, it lured him into trying drugs. And even though he knew he shouldn't, even though he knew they were wrong, the lure of his friends, his peers, the pressure of the time, he went for it. And he said, I quickly found that responsibility was an undesirable part of my life. He goes on to say that his drug use increased as he made more friends who used drugs, and then the concepts that he learned at school, like right and wrong and respect, became a thing of the past. This means that all norms and standards that his parents had established, all norms and standards that he had learned in church, such as the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, these things faded away. And the rate of forgetting exceeded the rate of learning, and that can happen very easy. All things that I thought were right became wrong, and I lost all respect. And he says, the friends that I came to know were involved in far more than just taking a few small downers. Thus, I started experimenting with more drugs and larger doses. And as I acquired more friends who were involved in this, our activities turned to crime in order to have money for these drugs. One bad decision opened the door for another bad decision, and so forth. For me, I became involved in transporting, he says, and selling, he says, across the country, as well as involved in burglary and robbery, because I no longer saw anything wrong with those actions. This is what arrogance does. Arrogance takes you into self-deception, and under self-deception, he did not think he was violating the law. He had rejected authority by means of self-justification. He had justified why it was all right to do these things, and now deceived himself into thinking the law was wrong for making drugs illegal. Listen as I read to this. I no longer saw anything wrong with these actions, and I felt that the police were wrong for making drugs illegal. My criminal activities covered close to the whole range of crimes, and my rap sheet almost looked like the law books. I began to feel that everything authority said was right was actually wrong, and I adopted into my life everything that was wrong. I mentioned drugs. By the age of 17, my involvement with drugs covered any drug you could imagine, as well as robbing and selling across the country and using. I mentioned crime, any type of crime, as long as I was able to have money. And then another bad decision came my way. I got involved, he says, in the occult. I thought the occult was neat, and I swallowed Satan's lie, hook, line, and sinker. And that's the final stage, called self-absorption. The final stage of arrogance, from self-justification to self-deception to now self-absorption, getting into the occult. And this person goes on to say, I was too blind to see that it was my own decisions. That's volitional responsibility. It was my own decisions that kept me in and out of prison and that kept me feeling miserable. And this continued until I wound up on death row in the state of Arizona. He was convicted for the murder and the abuse of a small child. Now, he says, I started to look over my life once I was on death row, and I started to see the mistakes that I'd made. This is called enforced humility. When a person doesn't learn humility by orienting to legitimate authority, then they must learn enforced humility by authority orienting to them. And when he was arrested and put into a small jail cell and only allowed out a few minutes a day, it causes him to have an objective look at where he was and what he had done. And this is enforced humility. He had no humility on the outside. He rejected all authority. And now he had nothing but authority and no freedom at all. See, that's the tragedy of rejection of authority. Authority is designed to provide your freedom. And when you reject authority, you lose your freedom. And now here he is on death row. I was looking my life over, seeing the mistakes I'd made, and I started to see that I wasn't exactly the big, bad man I thought I was, and that I needed help. I needed a Savior. Christ died on the cross for my sin and promised that all I had to do was accept Him to have eternal life. I was tired of fighting everyone, tired of fighting myself. My arrogance had led me so far away from Jesus Christ. In January of 1988, he said, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and my life has taken on changes. I find that by studying the Bible and using God's Word to live my life and solve the intense problems that I have on death row, it's bringing me more happiness than I ever experienced. The Lord has turned my life around and given me peace. I thought that everything was so complex, and I refused for years to consider anything as simple as accepting Christ as my Savior. I'm still on death row, but now I'm living my life instead of just doing my time. Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and His Word gives me the answers to the problems that I face. The choice to accept Christ as my Savior has opened up the door to many more wise decisions, and one of them, writing this letter to you, hopefully praying that none of you would have to go through a fraction of what I've gone through, and that you would make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a pretty honest and truthful letter from a person on death row, a person who rejected authority. This is exactly what happens. Legitimate authority is defined as the legal power delegated by God whereby certain people have jurisdiction and responsibility for others. And he was apprehended by the legitimate authority, arrested by legitimate authority, tried and convicted by legitimate authority, and sentenced to die for the crime. Now, here's an interesting thing. There is authority in the temporal realm and authority in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, the Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So here's a man on death row about to die, locked up and incarcerated, but really free for the first time in his whole life. Because he's free to see what he was. He's free to see where he ruined and destroyed his life and the lives of others by his malicious crime. But he's free from the penalty of sin. He will not have to spend eternity in the lake of fire because Christ died, yes, even for a murderer. And yet, remember, there was a thief on the cross there, murderers on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Remember that. But here he is, free. Free. Spiritually free. Physically, he's going to die. And he deserves to die for the crime that he did. But spiritually, forgiven by God's grace. In Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk in freedom because I seek your word. In Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. How did this freedom come to you? By Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, obeying the authority of his Father. In eternity past, he knew the plan. He knew what the plan consisted of. And he voluntarily came into this world and became a man and subjugated himself to the authority of the Father and laid his life down as a sacrifice for you and for me so that we might have forgiveness of sin. So he who is authority had to submit himself to authority and become a man. Freedom and authority must coexist. You can't have one without the other. And remember that arrogance will challenge any legitimate system of authority. It's always that way. Now, when I talk about the cosmic vortex, as I have in this show in the past, remember that the cosmic vortex is spawned by the cosmic confluence. The cosmic confluence is the combination of the hot air of satanic propaganda being sucked up into the cold air of human viewpoint, producing what we call a massive storm. This massive cosmic confluence. And here comes this massive storm blowing down the plains. And out of it spawns a cosmic vortex or a tornado. This is what sucks people up. This is the lure of the world. This is the call of the wild. This is what would make a person who was raised in church and went to a good school and had good parents, and yet they go off to a military school, go off to a college, and they stick their nose where it doesn't belong, and they begin to experiment out of curiosity, and the next thing you know, they're sucked up into the cosmic vortex, and they're carried down the road to ruin and dumped out somewhere under the sin unto death. The supercell called the cosmic confluence, the combination of human viewpoint thinking and satanic propaganda. And whenever someone gets into that cosmic vortex, there are several tendencies you can spot. You might want to look for them. Number one, it's anti-authority tendencies. Someone in the cosmic vortex, the lure of the world, the spirit of the times, someone who's been trapped in this, maybe a believer in Jesus Christ, will begin to be anti-authority. They will reject the authority of their pastor. They'll reject the authority of the police officer. They'll reject the authority of their parents. They'll reject the authority of the principal at school. Anti-authority means that the cosmic vortex has caught this person. And from anti-authority, we generally move into an arrogance that is self-justification, self-deception, and eventually self-absorption. This causes a tremendous amount of scar tissue to be accumulated on the soul of that individual. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. This is where the heart becomes hard. This is where the mind is blacked out and the person doesn't even realize what they're doing to themselves. Once arrogance kicks in, once self-absorption begins to manifest itself, scar tissue builds up on the soul to such a degree that the person who is having the buildup, the scar tissue buildup, does not know it's happening to them. They have rejected authority, they become arrogant, they've accumulated scar tissue, and now degeneracy sets in. It always does. And keep in mind that degeneracy can be either moral or immoral. Immoral degeneracy could be what this person got into from this letter that I read you, into the occult and into the murder of an innocent child. But moral degeneracy is not often thought of. What is moral degeneracy? That is the self-righteous, religious person who would take a gun and shoot a doctor and think he's doing God a favor. God never authorizes murder under any circumstances. But the arrogance of this person would say, I didn't murder that person. You see, they would justify their actions. It were the morally degenerate, religious, self-righteous leaders who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not the prostitutes. It was not the tax collectors. It was the morally degenerate, self-righteous, religious crowd. To tell you the truth, I think I'd rather face the immoral degenerate than the moral degenerate, because the moral degenerate, you never know what he's thinking. But the immoral degenerate, you know where he's coming from. Degeneracy is always the result of living in the cosmic vortex and becoming anti-authority and building up scar tissue through arrogant rejection of authority. And then the result of the cosmic vortex as it sweeps across this country, as this cosmic confluence, that supercell of satanic viewpoint and human agenda sweeps across our country, what happens is that we have a breakdown from the laws of establishment, that all society is fragmented. People begin to be polarized into certain cliques, into certain groups. Criminality begins to spring up. And the whole attitude of the nation begins to change, maybe in the form of some type of national cultural tolerance of immorality. It can happen, and it is happening, even in America today. There is a breakdown in the laws of establishment. There is a fragmentation in our society with different groups polarizing. And now we're no longer Americans. We're this type of American or that type of American. And the end result is you are witnessing the fall of the greatest nation that's ever lived in the history of the world. You are witnessing the fall of America. It could happen in your lifetime. You are the answer. And unless you take your spiritual life seriously, unless you make serious aims to grow spiritually, you may lose everything that our forefathers ever fought and ever died for. There's a lot to be said and not a whole lot of time to say it. But let me thank you for listening and invite you back next week. Till then, it's Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.